All right, guys. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Drew. And I remember the first time I stood on the stage about 5 years ago. I'd been hearing from a lot of people that Iowa City was a spiritually dark place. And I came to Iowa City to lead Salt Company, not trusting in my own power or my own ability, but trusting in the fact that Jesus changes people's lives. And the crowd here tonight is evidence that Jesus is alive and well, and that he changes people's lives. But there's a question that I have for you tonight, and that's, what keeps people's lives from being changed by Jesus? And what Jesus is going to do tonight for us is going to use an agricultural metaphor to show us why some people are resistant to the life change that Jesus brings. The basic message tonight really is that you can have a perfect seed, but if there's not good soil, that seed is not going to grow. Now, my family kind of has a perfect example of this. So this last summer, my five kids and I and my wife, we went and got some tomato seeds. And what we did is we bought buckets, and we filled the buckets with some soil. And then we put the seeds in the buckets. All right, but the buckets weren't very well ventilated, and we probably didn't water them enough and all that. And so essentially what happened is our tomatoes stunk. They were bad. They were just terrible. And the problem was not with the seed. The problem was with the soil. The fact that we put it in the bucket diminished the soil to the degree that the seed was affected. The seed was not effective in the soil because the soil was defective. And so there were terrible tomato plants. So you could say if there was better soil, there would have been better tomato plants. And if the soil had been any worse, there would have been no tomato plants. Okay, so what we're going to see from the scripture tonight is that Jesus said, his word is like a seed, and your heart is like a soil. And so the basic question that I want you to ask yourself as we go through these different soils, as Jesus is our tour guide, is to ask yourself the question, what kind of soil am I? Okay, we're in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 1 and just read the first 9 verses. It says this, "Again, he," that's Jesus, "began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, 'Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So in this passage, Jesus gives us 4 possibilities of what the condition of the soil of our heart may be like. He said the soil of our heart could be like a path, it could be like rocky ground, it could be like thorns, or it could be like good soil. So what we're going to do is just take those one at a time, explain them, and examine ourselves to see where our hearts are at tonight. So the first option for the condition of your heart is that your heart is like a path. The text says in verse 4, he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Now, what you have to know about this passage is the best commentary on this passage is about 10 verses after that. The disciples asked Jesus, they're like, okay, what is this passage about? And Jesus says, okay, here's the thing. The birds, that's Satan. Okay, so this is what he's saying. There's this heart condition that is like a path. And you imagine somebody sowing seed. In that day, they would have like a bag hanging on the side of them. And they would reach their hand in, and they would grab a bunch of seed, and they would walk around in a field, and they would just liberally toss the seed. Well, there would be a place where that farmer would have walked over and over and over and over again, and maybe some of his neighbors would have used that spot to walk as well. And that would have been a well-worn path. Now, what characterizes a path is that it's both hard and it's smooth. In other words, it's easy. And tonight, some of your hearts, when you hear the word of God, are rock hard. Just imagine a seed sitting on top of a well-worn path. Doesn't matter how much it rains, doesn't matter how hard you try to plow it, it doesn't matter what you do, that seed just sits on top of the path. And some of you, you come week after week after week to Salt Company, you sit in Bible study, you have conversations about Jesus with your friends, and the truth is that his word has never actually found a home in your life. And I think that the reason for that, for the hardness in your heart, is likely because your heart resembles a path in another way. It's smooth. Your life has been so easy, perhaps, that you think you don't need Jesus. So your heart's hard, but the reason that it's hard is because your life has been smooth. And so you go through life and you're like, this whole life thing, I've got it figured out. And life is pretty easy. I go to a great school, I have enough money, I have great parents, I have great friends. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of letting the seed of God's word sit on top of my life and not get into my heart. Because if you actually press me on it, the honest truth is, I don't need Jesus. That's great that he's sort of a crutch in your life, but the truth is, I don't need him. You know, guys, it was really sad. I was walking with a friend of my father-in-law's. My wife and I were walking around my father-in-law's neighborhood, and we ran into one of his friends. And I began to talk to him about the things of God because my wife's mom had just died. And I began to explain the gospel message to him. And his response was to quickly divert me away from that topic and to start talking about golf. Do you know why he did that? It's because his heart was like this path. This man's life was good. He had a great marriage. He had great kids. He had plenty of money. He had a big house. And my sense was that he was not receptive or open to the gospel message because his life was both, or his heart was both hard and his life was easy. And so he thought, you know what? The word of God, that's good for some people, but I don't really need it. So that's the first condition that your heart could potentially be in, a very dangerous condition where the word of God is bouncing off of your heart. It doesn't have any root in your heart. The second possibility is that your heart is like rocky ground. Jesus said in verse 5, other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. So this is a deceptive soil because there's just enough soil to make you think that you're being receptive to the Word of God. Whereas the truth is, you're kind of playing games with God. You're getting just enough Jesus in your life that you begin to appear to be a Christian. You notice what Jesus says. He says there's this little teeny sprout. And for a short time, it looks like that little teeny sprout is going to be wheat. And that wheat is going to produce a harvest. But when you are rocky ground, underneath that little thin layer of soil, there is no depth. Which means you can grow a little tiny bit of Christianity in your life. You can kind of fake it. But the honest truth is, you don't really believe the Word of God. And the way that you know that you don't really believe the Word of God is when trials come into your life. Those trials can come in two different forms. They can come in the form, Jesus says later on, of tribulation or persecution. Tribulation are just the normal, ordinary things that happen to everyone who lives in a fallen world. And persecution is when people actually start making your life worse because you are a Christian. What we often think is that our circumstances sort of dictate how we live our lives. But when you're a true Christian, when you're truly receiving the Word of God, you might get rocked by your circumstances, by the suffering in your life. But it will not cause you to give up your faith. In fact, miracle of miracles, actually what happens to a true Christian when trials come into their life is that the roots go even deeper. Suffering produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when we encounter trials of various kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith actually develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. One of the evidences of this that I saw recently was I talked to a guy who had experienced a great trial in his past. His dad had died right after he got married. He actually got a call on his honeymoon that his dad had died very unexpectedly. And he told me that the reason that he had given up his faith in Jesus is because his dad had died unexpectedly. Well, just a short time after having this conversation with him about his dad dying and it being the reason for him giving up his faith, I talked to this man's mom. And I brought up my conversation with her son. And I said, "I'm so sorry that you lost your husband." And she said to me, "There is nothing that has ever happened in my life that drew me closer into my relationship with God." So think about that. Same exact circumstance, probably equally hard. Two people losing someone very close to them. One person says, "It's the reason that I gave up my faith." The other person says, "It pressed me in deeper to my faith." You see, what trials do is they reveal the genuineness of your faith. If you have a rocky heart, then when trials come, you'll mail it in. You'll walk away from Jesus. Now, you're a true Christian. I don't want to paint this like butterflies and flowers picture, something like that. You're just skipping through life with a smile on your face when people close to you die. But what happens is, although it's very painful, you press in. Because your roots go deep. So it's possible that your heart is like a path. It's also possible that your heart is like rocky ground. Thirdly, it's possible that your heart is full of thorns. Verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Now, there's a couple things that Jesus is saying about thorns in this passage. He's saying that thorns are sharp and that thorns consume whatever is around them. Later on, Jesus says that the thorns, this is going down to verse 19, he says they're the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. So thorns in your heart are sharp in the sense that they are these overwhelming desires, these overwhelming cravings. For some of you, it's actually not something difficult that is pulling you away from Jesus, like suffering. It's your own sinful and twisted desires. It's your desire to express your sexuality in whatever way you want to, rather than the way that God's word says you ought to. Or it's your desire for the American dream to be greedy and selfish with your money instead of being generous with what God has given you the way that God has been generous to you. And the form that these desires take is they sort of come at us in this all-consuming, overwhelming way. So what happens is you might hear the word of God, and the word of God might convict you of some behavior in your life, and yet you leave, whether it's Bible study or Salt Company or church or great conversation or reading the word of God, and what happens in your heart is instead of repenting of your sin and trusting in Jesus and asking him to fill with his Holy Spirit, you get consumed by your own desires. And you often wonder to yourself, how do people who are Christians overcome their desires? I feel like my desires are totally out of control, and they're leading me to do things that I don't actually want to do. And so you have a thorny heart. One of the saddest things I think I'll probably ever do in my life was a funeral that I did earlier this year. I learned about this man at his funeral as I was preaching at it, talking to his wife. And she told me that they had taught Sunday school when they first got married for 15 years. And then this guy, who had a great big personality and the ability to make a lot of money, began to get consumed with the desires of the world. And so pretty much, whatever he wanted, he got. So I learned at his funeral celebration service or whatever, as people were going up front, that he was the guy who paid for all the trips for everyone to go to Las Vegas and see a bunch of strippers. Or he was the guy who paid for everybody's round of golf. Or he was the guy who was just the life of the party and the center of attention. Whatever he wanted, he got. And so I had the responsibility of preaching his funeral and not giving the impression that he had ever come to know Jesus. And I will never forget, as his casket was being lowered into the ground, the scripture coming across my mind: what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose or forfeit his soul. See, that's what's at stake here. And then I went home, I ate dinner with my family, and after having been at that funeral all day, I went back into my bedroom, I got on my knees, and I just laid on the floor with my face pressed to the ground and just wept about that man's life. Guys, if your heart is not receptive to the word of God, I'm telling you this not to condemn you, but as someone who loves you, that you are in a dangerous place, because this is the heart that you need to receive the word of God. You need a heart that is represented by good soil. Jesus said this in verse 8, and other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. The heart that receives the word of God is a soft, humble, and receptive heart. Think about a soil that receives a seed. You can see the farmer going through his field and he's tossing the seed. You can see it falling on the path. You can see it falling on the rocks. You can see it falling among the thorns. And then you can see it hitting that soft, receptive soil. And almost immediately as the seed hits it, it sinks beneath the surface, destined to produce grain. My question for you is, tonight, do you have a soft, receptive heart to God's word? Is your heart open to receiving what God has for you? Now, here's one reason I think that some of you might not have that kind of heart. It's because you have a total misunderstanding about what the Word of God is all about. See, if I were to press you and ask you, what is the seed? What is the Word of God? You would start giving me a list of rules, a list of duties, a list of religious rituals. You would say the Bible is essentially about doing good things and avoiding bad things. Now, as Jesus is teaching this parable, what is in his mind as he's thinking about the seed is not a list of religious duties and religious rituals. He's actually thinking about himself. The Gospel of Mark begins with Jesus saying, "Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand." What did Jesus mean by that? He meant that he was the rightful king of the universe. By saying the kingdom of God was at hand, what he's saying is, I'm right here. I'm the king, and I am going to make this place right. And people misunderstood him. They thought what Jesus was talking about was that he was going to set up this massive earthly kingdom. What Jesus was talking about was that he was the king who could change the soil of people's hearts. He could actually make the path good soil. He could actually throw the rocks out and plow the rocky soil and make it good, receptive soil. He could actually get the thorns out of there, and he could make people receptive to the Word of God. How would Jesus do that? Well, think about this image of a seed. A seed is this concentrated little teeny thing that holds a lot of data. Now listen to what Jesus says to his disciples about himself in John chapter 12, starting with verse 23. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." See what Jesus is saying? He says, me, the Son of Man, will be glorified. And then what does he compare himself to and what he's about to do on the cross? He compares it to a seed. You see what Jesus is saying? The whole Word of God, all of it, is about to be concentrated on the cross. If you want to know exactly who God is and exactly what God is like, let me clear away all the misinformation for you. God is Jesus hanging on the cross for you. And the reason that Jesus hung on the cross for you is to change your hard, rocky soil into good soil. And do you know the way that he does that? The way that he does that is he climbs up onto the cross and he says, "My life for yours. All of your sin, all of your rebellion, everything that you have ever done that is wrong, every time you went after your own cravings, every time you ran away from your suffering and didn't see any purpose in it, every time you closed off your heart to the Word of God, every time you ran away from a relationship with God," what Jesus is saying is, "I will make this relationship right. I take what you deserve so that you can get what I deserve." And so here's the crazy thing. While your heart was still stony, rocky, and hard, Christ died for you. While you were still a sinner, Jesus loved you. And the proof of that, that he never wants you to forget, is his death on the cross. You see, Jesus is the seed that can penetrate the most difficult soils. And so here's my question for you tonight. Will you receive him? Will you humble yourself? Will you drop your weapons and admit that you have not been fighting against a God who is opposed to your joy? You have been fighting against a God who has loved you from all eternity. He wants to know you. Let's pray. Jesus, we sang that your name is worthy. Jesus, we must all admit that at times our hearts are hard. We quickly forget who you are and what you've done. We have gone our own way. And Jesus, we desperately need you. We need you to change us and to transform us. And we admit that we need to receive you and not reject you. So God, would you help us to do that? And for those who have never done that before, God, would you give them the gift of faith? Would you right now, by your Holy Spirit, open up hearts to receive you that have been opposed to you? Would you show them the beauty and the glory of Jesus as we continue to worship his name? In Jesus' name, amen.